Good evening. Thank you for being here this evening. If you will, open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 20. In a little bit, we're going to read a couple of verses there. In Mark chapter 4, in verse 33 through 41, we read of a miracle that was performed by Jesus. Him and the disciples were in a boat. They were crossing the sea. A great storm arose. The boat was swamped. They were in fear of their life. And they went to where Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat. Woke him up. Master, teacher, aren't you worried that we're dying here? And Jesus got up, rebuked the storm, and immediately there was a great calm. Now, it's not necessarily the miracle that Jesus performed that we read about in Mark 4, verse 33 through 41, that I want to concentrate this lesson. I would like for us to focus upon a statement that was made in verse 36. And when they had went away, the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with them other small ships. I want us to concentrate on that phrase. They took him as he was. You know, most of us, we like to take things as they are. We like them at face value. We don't like to be tricked. We don't like to be made fun of. We like things as they are. Are we willing to take Jesus just as he is? You know, many are unwilling to take Jesus just as he is. Many attempt to fashion Jesus to their liking. You know, how many times have we heard people say, that's not what my Jesus would do, or perhaps, my Jesus would not condemn anyone. You know, if God is love, he could not condemn anyone. God said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, let us make man in our image. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. What we need to take from this verse here is that God himself said, let us, meaning God, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image. But since then, all the way back into Genesis, all the way back at the creation of mankind, it's been man who has said, let us make God in our image and after our likeness. Romans chapter 1 verse 25. Paul writes, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. People are still doing this today. They are making God into their own image. They fashion God how they perceive that God should be and not how God truly is. That's why they can say, "Oh, that's not what my Jesus would do." Or they would say, "My Jesus would not condemn anybody," because they have fashioned the Creator in man's image. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1, verse 2 through 3. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Again, people are doing exactly the same thing today. They're not looking for the Creator. They're looking for their God that they have perceived in their own minds of what God truly is. John chapter 1 and verse 11. "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." Jesus died for our sins, and yet there are still millions upon millions of people who still reject him. And he came to his own, and his own received him not. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22 through 24. "The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." The cross is still a stumbling block to many in the world. They simply cannot comprehend the fact that the Savior had to die to save mankind from sin. How can a dead Savior save anything? They don't go any farther than that. They don't go into the resurrection. They don't go into the life that Jesus lived and the miracles he performed and the things that he did. They're stumped at the cross. So what taking Jesus just as he is, what does that actually mean? 1st of all, I believe that if we want to take Jesus just as he is, we must hold truth without compromise. You know, man loves to compromise, don't we? We compromise on just about anything and everything. We can't get the latest and the greatest, so what do? We compromise. Don't we? But truth cannot be compromised. Look, if you will, at Mark chapter 10, verses 21 through 22. "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him." This is the rich young man that come running up to him and kneeling down, "Master, what one thing must I do to enter heaven?" "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, take up the cross, follow me. And he was sad at these sayings, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Now, today, we'd compromise, wouldn't we? This is a rich man. Think of all the good he could do. You know, Jesus could have compromised a little bit and said, you know, I tell you what, you come and follow me and use your wealth to help when I say you need to be helping and everything's fine. But Jesus didn't compromise. He told the young man exactly what he needed to do in order to inherit life. And he let the man walk. Would we do that today? If some great wealthy individual come to Tipton, Indiana, and they begin to worship here, but yet they didn't like how things were done, and he wanted to change things, would we compromise because of his wealth? Or would we adhere to the truth without compromise? Love and truth are not mutually exclusive. If we accept God's love, then we have to accept His truth. And you remember, we've talked about truth many times. Truth is truth. Truth can never be a lie. A lie can never be truth. Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, you would think he's talking about today, wouldn't you? Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Are we ashamed of truth? Do we hold back speaking truth for the fear of perhaps offending someone or turning someone off because they refuse to accept truth when it's presented? Love and truth are not mutually exclusive. If we want to say, I love Jesus, then we must also say, I love His truth. You can't have one or the other. We must embrace His cross and ours. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? You know, Paul's making a very valid point. He says here, if I preach circumcision, why is there persecution? Then is the offense of the cross cease? The offense of the cross for many is the fact that they want a Savior fashioned after their own heart, after their own mind, after what they see the Savior to be. Luke chapter 14, verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We must embrace the cross and ours. What does it mean to embrace our cross? Everyone should know the answer to that. What does it mean to embrace our cross? That means to give up self. That means to give up our think-sos or our once. We can look at many of the denominational world today, and they do things totally opposite of New Testament teaching. Can you say that they have taken up their cross? We must embrace the cross of Christ and ours. We must accept His willingness to forgive. Man wants salvation on his own terms. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. Are we willing to accept the forgiveness that is offered by the cross? Many in today's quote religious world, they want forgiveness on their own terms because they completely reject the terms that set forth for us in our Bibles. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. Man wants forgiveness, but again, they want forgiveness on their own terms. How they believe God should forgive. Well, just say this prayer and ask Jesus to come in your heart and you'll be saved. Or you must pray this to this person. And I'm thinking of, you know, Catholics. Praying to Mary. Colossians 1 verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. It is through Christ and His work on the cross, the shedding of His blood, that we have the forgiveness of sin. We cannot change that truth to fit our own think-sos. We can't do it. If we try, then we're not seeking the salvation that God has offered. We're seeking salvation through our own means. We must accept the church as Jesus established it. Take your Bibles, open up to chapter 20, the book of Acts, chapter 20. And let's start reading at verse 28. Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock which over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. This is speaking about elders. To feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. It's not our church. It's His. He purchased it with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. We must accept the church as Jesus established it. We cannot have a church that fits what we believe, what we think God wants. And many of the denominations have done exactly that. We come and in the church that Jesus built has elders and deacons and preachers and teachers. We sing, we pray, we partake of the Lord's Supper, we give of our means, preaching, teaching. We can't change those things. Now, in what order? That's up to us. But would we still be the church of our Lord Jesus Christ if we cut out partaking of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? What if we only wanted, you know, stuff? Those little cups are expensive. What if we just done it once a month to save money? Would we still be the Lord's church? What if we decide to help our singing that we wanted to bring in instrumental music? Would we still be the Lord's church? We must accept the church as Jesus established it, not what we think God wants in his kingdom. And there are terms of entrance, isn't there? There's terms of entrance into the Lord's church. Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. Can we change any of that and still be the Lord's church? Try to come up with something that we can change that we do that's required for us to do. And let's see if we can still be the Lord's church. What if we stopped all prayer when we come together to worship? What if we decided that, you know, our singing is so horrible, which it's not, by the way. What if we just hummed? Is humming singing? If we expect Jesus to still the storms of our lives, we need to take him just as he is. John chapter 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Those are sobering words. We can't change Jesus to fit our perception of what Christianity should be. Are we taking Jesus as he is? Or are we trying to change the Creator to fit us? This evening, if you're here, if you're in need of prayer, for whatever the reason, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Who at the door is now?